You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hell, I suck at dating. With Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Jared Haben, joined as always by Dean Unglert. And today we are joined by fashion designer and current Real Housewife of New York City. It is Leah McSweeney. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Jared. Hi, Dean.
Hi, how are you?
I gotta tell you guys, I didn't get into Bachelor, Bachelorette shows until this year, and now I'm so f***ing obsessed. It's insane.
Are you going back and watching old seasons?
Yeah, of course, because I just started watching this year, so now I'm watching all the old seasons. And I honestly became super obsessed with your story, Jared, and like how your wife actually knew that you were the one. Like, I can't believe that it had a happy ending. I'm like, I believe in love now and like women's intuition. No, like don't ever call us psycho bitches because we know what we want and we know when shit is like supposed to happen.
Yeah. I obviously couldn't agree more. So, I think, Easton, do we even need an intro? I think hopefully that should all be on the podcast. That was so good. All right, great. So we're recording right here. Welcome to Help, I Suck at Dating. Piper James is back co-hosting, Dean, myself, and we have an incredible guest from the Real Housewives of New York City. We have Leah McSweeney, or Lee McSweeney. How are you?
I'm also fanning out that Piper's here.
That's awesome.
Oh my god, I'm fanning out that you're here, so that's exciting.
Cool. Hey guys, I'm also here too, just in case anyone forgot. I'm here too.
You ever get like, I want to explain why I mispronounced your first name, because I know it's Leah. And do you ever have, like, I'm sure people can relate, when you're a little nervous and you go to say something and you know how to pronounce it, but you second guess yourself. And so you go with option B, even though you know it's wrong, but you're just like, you just make a wrong decision anyway. Cause I'm literally reading it and it's Leah McSweeney. And I go, Lee.
No, what I do is I get nervous when I have to introduce two people that I know. And like, I know their names, but I'm thinking I'm going to fuck it up somehow. So I'm just like, here, meet each other. And I don't like introduce them properly. It's really stupid.
It's so weird. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining us on Help I Suck at Dating. As everybody was listening, you've recently become a Bachelor fan, which is awesome. So what made you get into Bachelor? What was the first season?
I'm trying to think what the first one that I watched where I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I haven't been watching this all along.
So
I think it was
the most recent was Clayton, and the one before that was Matt James.
I haven't seen Matt James. So I think what I did is I watched an old one. I think I might've watched an old one with like, I can't remember names that well. It might've been Katie or like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, Katie.
Oh, Katie.
Yeah, we know Katie. She was maybe like 2 years ago or 3 years ago or something like that.
So she was the bachelorette, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. So you're pretty recent, which is pretty good.
Exactly. So then I just started catching up, and then Bachelor in Paradise. Like, I'm like, wow, I'm so invested that it's like crazy.
It's funny because Kaylin is incredibly obsessed with Real Housewives. I don't know if she's seen the New York one. I'm sure she has. She's in my understanding, she's seen them all. In all honesty, she should probably be here right now with you, so that way she could pick your brain a little bit. But why did you even want to pick up watching Bachelor? You were just like bored one day and turned it on, or what?
Yeah, like I don't even know. Like, it was a divine intervention. Like, God was like, you must watch this show. It was like something deep in my soul was like, try the show out. Like, I just had no more shows to watch. And then I was just so happy. I was so happy that I found something that was just so awesome and dramatic and just like, wow, yeah, just really intense.
Do you watch reality TV?
Yeah, I do. That's the thing. I do watch reality TV, but I never got into it. And I had friends, like straight dudes and like all different people that were just obsessed. Like, people that I would never think would even watch reality TV loved it. But I'm like into really, like really trash. Like, I love like Love After Lockup is like one of my favorites.
Oh, man. That is such a good show.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, actual like crackheads. Like, it's insane. It's insane. But what I love about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, it's just like people are so open and putting themselves out there. And it's like, I can't even imagine. Like, I was just watching another season. Now I'm trying to remember the girl's name. I just started watching it. And I'm like, oh my God, her name's Andy. Andy.
Oh, so you're getting introduced to our good friend Nick Viall.
Yes. Oh my God. Wait, Nick. Hold on.
Yeah. But Nick's a good dude.
Isn't Pilot Pete also in that one, or did I not see him in there?
No,
he comes later on.
Yeah, he's okay, like years down the road.
So confusing. Okay, so Nick.
Yeah.
But like, the thing is, I mean, I think about myself like, oh my God, what if I was a bachelorette? I'm so jaded with dating. Like, every guy that came by, I would be like, nope, like, he's a dickhead. Like, people are so open and trusting.
Well,
yeah,
you
well,
kind of have
that's,
to
like,
be
the thing about the show. Yeah, you kind of just have to like throw yourself out there and be like,
because if you
see what sticks.
Yeah, as Piper said, if you don't, then you're going to be eliminated. You know what I mean? Because the Bachelor, the Bachelorette doesn't have time for it. Production doesn't have time for that. It's like, if you don't open up, then you're just going to be like, okay, well, this isn't going to work out for us.
Or you could open up like Clayton and fall in love with three women.
Yeah. I mean, why not? He's dating 30 to start off with. Three. You know, honestly, so he only fell in love with what? Is that 10% of the women? That's not so bad.
10%. That's not so bad. Leah, I got to ask. So as a reality TV fan, how did you stumble into being on Real Housewives of New York, right?
Yes. So I was actually casted through a woman who has already been on the show, Bethany Frankel. She followed me on Instagram, so I was somehow on her radar. And at the end of the season, they always ask the women, like, give us names of people you know. And even though we didn't personally know each other, she just randomly gave them my name.
What?
I was like a really, yeah, I was like a really weird wild card for casting, because I was like a lot younger than all the women, like by like 20 to 30 years younger than all of them. Not from the Upper East, like do not hang out on the Upper East Side. Not really my vibe. Just like totally different. I really didn't think that I was gonna end up on it. I had no idea like how it was gonna work either. Once I got cast, I'm like, how am I gonna do this?
No, you obviously figured it out pretty well, pretty easily.
I figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, that's just life. You know what I mean? I feel like anytime someone gets, because it is getting a new job, you know, being casted on a show. And I feel like so many people, like whenever they apply for jobs, I've done it myself. And then, you know, you really like, you don't fake your resume, but you really build it up. You know what I mean? And then like you get the job and you're like, oh, shit, what do I do now? And then you just figure it out.
Yeah, that's so true. Even in my casting, like when they were doing my tape or whatever, I said I was anti-socialite, and I was like, once I said I'm anti-socialite, I'm like, oh, they're never going to pick me. Like, I'm the antithesis. But that's because I went to school on the Upper East Side and like was from like downtown, and I just like didn't like that like scene, you know? So I basically was going back into my like early adolescence all over again, like at age 37 or however old I was, 38 when I did it.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lee, I see here in my notes, too, that you stayed sober the whole time on the show, which I'm sure you were an anomaly in that case. You know, I haven't seen much of the Real Housewives show, but it seems like they're always like out at, you know, like you're saying, like socializing and drinking and stuff. Was that like a weird thing for you to, not weird, but like, was it challenging, I guess?
So like, I hadn't like drank in like 9 years. I was sober. And then before I even knew that I was going to be on the show, I started drinking because like it had been so long. And I was like, oh, I think I can like, you know, I'm in a different place in my life. And then it was like, boom, you're going to be on the show. And I was like, oh, better stop. Because I know how I am when I get drunk, you know, but I couldn't stop. So for the first season, I drank. And then the second season, I didn't drink. And I still haven't had a drink, thank God. But the second season, was it hard to not drink? You know, I think I had so much like reference from not drinking for almost a decade that it was kind of easy for me to get back, you know, like getting back on a bike kind of thing, luckily. Because it's obviously very hard to stop drinking.
Well, in your,
oh, yeah, definitely.
In your book, Chaos Theory, you talk about getting sober. And I think for a lot of people out there, when getting sober, they can't go back because their addiction is so bad where it's like, if I have a sip of a drink, it's all going downhill. So when you started drinking again and then you were able to stop again, was that like stopping the second time or saying like, I'm not going to have a drink again? Was that more difficult than the first time or no?
It was a totally different experience because I think the first time I was like in such a desperate, like depressed, dark place. And it really came from, like, I actually had a death premonition, and that's like when I stopped drinking. And then the second time around, it was more like, okay, I'm about to be a public figure. I'm about to, like, you know, there's a pandemic. I'm stuck in a house with like my ex and my kid and my sister and her kid, and I can't stop drinking. Like, I actually have to, I didn't really want to stop, but I was like, I'm making a good decision by stopping. And luckily, my drinking had gotten bad. Like, it was like, I was drinking, and then, like, once I drink, I want to like push up my nose, and like, that was happening. And I mean, that's just what happens, you know? And like, I was like, I can't go back to that. That's what I was doing in my past life. Like, I can't go do that again. Like, I don't want to be like a story in the New York Post. You know what I mean? Like, I go there in my head, like, God forbid, like, you think you're like doing a little, having a little party favor and it's fentanyl. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, it was just definitely, it was going to get dark and ugly. So I was like, I just got to stop.
It's interesting to consider, because we, you know, when we're on, when we're filming The Bachelor, any of The Bachelor shows, it's not like we're at our, you know, in our town, at our house with our friends, filming stuff. You're just like kind of like secluded and you don't really have access to anything. And it got to the point where by my very last season of Bachelor that we filmed, I didn't drink at all either, because I was sick of like blacking out and then watching myself on TV, not having a single clue what I was going to say or do. But I can't imagine what it must have been like to like I can only imagine if we had a film crew like following me around in Los Angeles with my friends, because I feel like that's when it's not like bad decisions per se, but it's just, you're a lot more like loose.
It's bad decisions.
Mostly. You're a lot looser, you know, you're a lot more comfortable. And so you make bad decisions. Although, like, you know, obviously Bachelor's got their special formula where their isolation is kind of what like drives people crazy and makes them do crazy things. So there's like pick your poison sort of thing. But no, it's super interesting to hear, especially Leah, you've had both sides of it. You said season one you drank and then season two you hadn't. So is there, I mean, obviously I would say you probably would prefer the not drinking because you're way more in control, right? Like that's gotta be.
I mean, look, I'm actually like a really fun, like drunk. Like I am. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like it's fun until it's not, you know? So like, I think people really enjoyed watching me like wild the fuck out, but like, I can't do that just because the audience maybe thinks that's more entertaining because like I have a life and a child and things like that. So, you know, I think I'm fun, like also without booze. Like I didn't drink for many years and it never stopped me from doing anything. If anything, I was able to do so much more, you know, like alcohol actually like kind of, oh my God, there was that one guy on The Bachelor in Paradise who was like so drunk and he got like asked to leave. That was really bad. Sorry, I keep
it's Chad.
Oh my God, that was hard to watch.
Yeah,
that guy's a loser. I got to ask, Leah, because you have brought it up. And I think I remember hearing you mention that you are not in a relationship with your ex anymore. Would you ever consider going on The Bachelor?
Well, like I said, I think I'm just so like jaded. I don't think that I could ever like, I don't know if I could really trust, like, I mean, everybody's hot on the show. So like that part is awesome because they're already picking hot dudes. So that part would be great. You know, I don't have to like shift through, you know, a bunch of like ugly dudes, but like,
right.
I would just not like, I'm just, I mean, I suck at dating. That's why I'm on this fucking podcast. I suck at it. Like I'm not good at it. My daughter had me like, my daughter makes so much fun of me. She actually had me call this one guy who I matched on Hinge with. She's like, you know, I'm like, okay, I have to go talk to him. I'm going to go in the other room. She's like, no, stay here and put him on speaker because I want to hear everything you're saying.
That's awesome.
And in the middle of the conversation, yeah, my daughter's savage. In the middle of the conversation, she's looking at me going, Mom, there's no connection. Hang up on him. This guy is a dork, you know. So even my daughter knows that I'm like, no, maybe I should like go to lunch with him. She's like, why? He's boring. He didn't make you laugh. There's no connection. It's a total waste of time. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be listening to my 15-year-old. I don't know.
It sounds like you need to go on Paradise. Maybe they'd make a non-pre-bachelor exception for you because at least you had options in that scenario so you can mesh with different personalities and everyone's right. Still hot. So no, there's that.
But I wouldn't like that because there's too much competition.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
God, it's like that's like my worst nightmare. When I watched people cry and Tammy was crying and all these people are crying and everyone's feelings are getting hurt. And like, people are left and right, like, breaking each other's hearts. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot deal with Bachelor in Paradise.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It sounds like you and Rob still have a good relationship. Would you ever consider getting back with him?
The hell no.
Well, I guess it ended for a reason.
Exactly. And we have a good relationship because we're not romantically involved with each other. Because once you're romantically involved with each other, there's expectations. There's this, there's that. It's very complicated. Like, I don't have any expectations of Rob. He's not my man. He's my friend. He's my family.
That's fair. So is that what your secret tip would be to anyone that's going through a breakup to remove? I mean, obviously, like, if you can be mature enough about it, remove the romantic component about it and just like do your best to be friends. Is that your advice? Or what would you say to like stay in good on good terms with them?
If you have a kid, yeah, because you kind of have to stay on good terms. Personally, I don't speak to any of my other exes. I don't have kids with them. They were all mistakes. Why would I talk to them? I hate all of them. So
fair.
Yeah. So no, I wouldn't even say to stay friends with an ex unless you have to.
How is it dating with a child in New York?
It's kind of like, you know, it's great because on one hand, I'm 39. I'm about to be 40. I have a 15-year-old. I don't have that like pressure of like, you better find someone now because you need a kid because your clock is running out. So I'm blessed. You know, I got knocked up at age 24. Thank God. So I don't have to be in a relationship. Like, I have everything I need, you know, but at the other end of it, it's like, I don't really want to like be in a relationship because I want to give all my time to my daughter. Of course, now she's getting older and I'm realizing that. And I'm like, damn, she's going to be like in college in a few years. So I should probably start opening myself up to dating soon. So I do need to start dating again soon. I just don't know where to meet guys. And honestly, they're all pieces of shit in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, dating I've heard that. New York dating, all my friends that are doing it are like, absolutely not. It's not for me. I always say outsource because long distance is better.
You're so right, Piper. And it's also like, okay, my age, like demographic, like guys like are like dating way younger than me. Right. So what am I going to like 50-year-olds want like 20-year-olds, you know, or whatever. Like, so what do I have to date, like a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old? I personally I'm attracted to like 26-year-olds. That's what I find. So I think I got to start dating and kind of turn into the cougar at some point soon.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, reverse the narrative. Do it.
That's certainly realistic.
Thank you. I think so too.
Yeah. I want you to, could you give some advice to Jared? So Jared's got a 3-month-old at home, just had her, I'm sorry, Jared, not too long ago. And Leah, you said your girl is 15 now. So with all that perspective, can you give Jared any parenting advice?
Oh my God, Jared, I know you're probably exhausted. Yeah. And yes, I know you're exhausted and all that good stuff, but dude, you have to, this is what I would say to anybody. Like you have to, I wish that I had done this. Like it's my regret of not like holding on to those moments more and like just like basking in them. I was so worried about like this or that, or do I have the right diaper genie? And you know, this like, oh my God, like she's like, is she going to talk soon? Like what's happening? But I just like, and I didn't like, I don't know. I don't feel like I just took those moments in enough. And then it goes by so quickly, and then they're gone. Like they're not babies anymore, and they're not toddlers anymore, and it's over. It's like super sad, kind of.
No, I would just say I appreciate that, and I couldn't agree more. I'm trying to soak in every moment with him as possible because he's just changing so much, even from day to day, and it's wonderful, obviously, but it's also quite sad to know that it's just gonna be over, and that it's already getting to that point because. I love him so much as a baby. The idea that he's going to grow up to be like me makes me so sad. I'm like, bro,
you're so depressed. I know it's depressing a little.
Yeah. So I'm like, you're so much better. Don't be like, no, like just stay a baby. you deserve so much more. Well, thank you. I appreciate that piece of advice. And before you go, I did want to ask you a question because obviously you're dating in New York. You know, you talk about, I'm not saying you're going to be on The Bachelor, but you know, hey, who knows? But I wanted to know if there was one celebrity out there that you could go on a date with, or like if you were the Bachelorette and you had your pick, like, oh, who's your celebrity crush that you'd want to see walk out of the limo?
It's two guys, but one is married, so he'd have to get divorced.
Okay, we can make that happen.
Okay. It would be definitely Joe Rogan and Eminem.
Wait, hold on. Who? Joe Rogan and Eminem?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Slim Shady, Marshall Mathers. Marshall Mathers. Yeah. Yeah,
Marshall.
Wait, so do you like Eminem more with the blonde or the dark hair?
I mean, I would make him go back to blonde, yeah.
She would make him.
Really?
I would be like, here's some bleach, honey.
And then Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's like so rich now too, and also he's cool as hell. I know he's controversial, but like he's dope. Like I love him.
No,
like,
I listen to his podcast too.
He's cool.
I guess I've never seen him as like a ladies man though, so it's hard for me to be like, oh yeah, what a stud. I guess he's a handsome man.
He's kind of short and like he's a bit bulky and all that, but like he's super into health, you know. He's intellectual but also cool. And I feel like we would have like dope conversations. Obviously he does have a wife and has family. Yeah. So I think he is a family man. He's a family man. It's important. Listen, this is me saying if him, you know, if he was single, not me, I'm not trying to be like anybody's mistress or anything like that.
Do we know if Eminem's single? Is Eminem single? It's gotta be.
My only fear with him, and also with Joe Rogan, because I feel like Joe Rogan's taking a lot of steroids, I'm afraid it shriveled his dick. and also Eminem has made fun of himself for having a small dick, and I can't have that. So, but they're both people rich, they could get dick implants.
Yeah.
I've heard that's a thing. I've heard that's coming onto the market for people.
Oh my God. Well, Leah, yeah. It was, I love Dean's reaction. Yeah. Something we consider. Leah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Oh my God. Of course.
I'm sorry that I didn't use my video. Please don't think I'm rude. It's just, one of those things. Fine.
We totally get it. And once again, you've been so raw and real on this podcast. We really appreciate that. And you're very raw and real in your book as well, where you talk about not only getting sober like we talked about, but your early days in New York and founding your company Married to the Mob, which is a wild success, having children, dating. So you can check that out. Chaos Theory, you can buy that anywhere where you get your books. And once again, Leah McSweeney, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you so much. So nice to meet all of you.
Thanks, Leah.
Thank you.
Best of luck finding a rich man with a big penis. Oh, she's gone. all right, well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Big thank you to Piper for joining us for both this episode and Sunday's episode. If you haven't listened to that one, go back to Sunday. Give it a listen. It's definitely worth your time. Be sure to tune in next week on Help I Suck at Dating, or maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at two locations, Flatiron Plaza in New York City and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.